Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
The Alaska Theater Festival comes to Juno and kicks off with one of Shakespeare's greatest plays, Macbeth, featuring Enrique Bravo and Natalia Spangler as Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. Performances are outside May 14th through 23rd. Tickets are free, masks are required, and bring your own seating. Visit theateralaska.org for times and locations. Something wicked this way comes.
Well, that was a good introduction to our next guest. Good afternoon. Great to have everyone here with us. I'm Rhonda McBride. As we know, the play's the thing, as Shakespeare wrote, and one of his most loved plays, Macbeth, is coming to Juno. It is a dark tale, and you know that you are in for trouble when you have three witches involved. But we're going to get a preview of this performance because it's going to be done a little bit differently. We have three actors with us from the upcoming play. Enrique Bravo as Macbeth. He's the Scottish general who is kind of our villain. Natalia Spangler as Lady Macbeth, a co-villainess. And Floridalina Langendino, who plays the noble King Duncan. So I guess what we should do is to get in the spirit of things is have each of you maybe say one of your favorite lines. So we'll start off with you, Enrique.
Sure. Mine's life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing.
A Tale Told by an Idiot. That's a title, I think, Sound and Fury of a William Faulkner book. There are a lot of quotes in this play that appear in all other places. Natalia, you get to be Lady Macbeth. That's got to be a juicy role.
Oh, yes, for sure.
So what's the favorite line you like to say?
I've got a pair that is quite a nice pairing. Early in the play, I say, what's done is done. But by the end of the play, I'm saying what's done cannot be undone, which is a nice twist with sort of similar meaning, but very different background behind it.
You don't have out spot or whatever that line is.
I have that too. I'm a kid.
All right. And Floridalina, what is your favorite line as the noble King Duncan?
Well, I'm actually going to say, as I play the porter as well, and I'm going to say, lechery, sir, it provokes and unprovokes. And my one of my favorite lines. Yeah.
Lechery that provokes and unprovokes. Well, you do wear a lot of hats, Floridalina, because you are also the company's artistic director. And this has got to be a challenge because I understand that some of the performances will be outdoors and they'll be in different locations. I mean, normally you have a stage, you have sets, and you're all in one place and you don't have to have constant changes in how you're going to approach things. So tell me why you decided to do it this way.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think that we really moved to being outside because of COVID, to be honest with you. I think normally we would be going to different community centers. We would love to go to the libraries. We'd love to, you know, like if the Filipino Community Hall was open, we'd go there. Even McPheeters Hall. We'd love to go inside, but because of the pandemic, we were like, what can we do to produce theater and make sure that not only are we as actors and producers safe, but how is the audience safe? So that we went directly to being outside. And then that kind of brought us to Shakespeare as well. Because like a lot of us have done Shakespeare festivals outside, and I really have a love for the work and the bard's words.
And I'm trying to remember my history lessons, but I would imagine that some of Shakespeare's performances were originally done in an outdoor theater of some kind. So really, this is not that different.
It's not that different. I mean, they would have like traveling Shakespearean troops going around, but also the Old Globe is partly outside as well. So it's pretty much in line with what's happened before in the past.
So how do you feel as actors? And we'll start with you, Lady Macbeth, being outdoors and then changing locations through various performances.
I think it's great. It's so exciting. There's something about, especially with a play like Macbeth, where a lot of it is set outdoors and talking about the sky or the woods, and being able to, you know, be right under the sky or be in the middle of the forest. That's something, it really connects you to the play that you're doing. And even like, even if it rains, like last night during our run, it was raining for part of it and we had to be out in the rain. But that I think even benefited us because it's a tragedy, and it really, the environmental elements, it can be tough because it can be cold and wet, but it also I think is a benefit to the play overall.
How about you, Enrique? How do you feel about being outdoors?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. So just to echo a lot of what Natalia said, I mean, this play is built for a Juno weather. It's, you know, a lot of that rain and wind really sort of lends itself to the story of Macbeth. I've worked for a theater company on the East Coast, a Shakespeare one too, that we did stuff outside. And there's something special about doing Shakespeare out in the open and, you know, like referencing stars and there they are. And you know, talking about this wood coming towards the castle and you know, you can look outside and see this wood, you know, actually there. So it makes it easy for, especially for a company like ours that isn't using a lot of bells and whistles. We are very bare bones. It's just costumes and sound. And other than that, it's, you know, what the actors bring to the table as well as like the minds, all the minds in the room. So it kind of helps, you know, tell that story.
Well, one of the things that is so important to Shakespeare, though, is being able to hear, because the language is in a different form than we normally speak. And it's designed to be poetic. So you really have to hear it. And I wonder how well we're going to be able to hear it, especially if Juno decides to rain with some stormy weather in the midst of this. Well, it might kind of set the scene with the witches and might be nicely dark and dramatic, but I do worry about being able to hear well outside.
I think that's a valid, you know, worry. I think the different spaces that we've gone to, it changes for each space. The Treadwell is actually great. The sound in that building bounces really nicely. And it, like I said, lends itself. But places like, you know, the park, I forget what the name of the park is.
Capital School Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a little open areas. So we've actually had to adjust how we perform in each of the spaces depending on, you know, that for a lot of reasons. We have different blocking. So we have as actors, we have almost like three different sets of blocking in our head depending on the space. So that is stuff that we've taken into consideration. We've tried to adjust accordingly.
Yeah. And the nice thing is we'll be unmasked too, the actors. So I know that is often hard for people to hear when people are talking behind masks, but the company is completely vaccinated. So we will be able to perform unmasked, which I think really helps with hearing too.
That is really good to hear. But I just imagine that if each play, each performance is different, that has got to stretch your skills as actors and actresses. I mean, just because you can't count on repeating everything exactly as you did the last time.
Yeah, well, but I think that's what acting is. I mean, that's the thing I love about theater. No show should be exactly the same. You should be adjusting to what's being put in front of you each and every show. You know, it's a constant adjustment. If it's a, you know, carbon copy of the night before, then you're not doing your job.
Yeah, and what's kind of fun too is like what you see at Treadwell Mine office building is going to be different than you see at the Capitol School Park, where we've adjusted some of the staging to use the architecture of the room at Treadwell Mine and then also of the park. So it's like fun. We can, you're using a hill or at downtown Juno, or you're using you know, the outside of a building for the other one and the inside of a building. So yeah, it's like, that's really fun for us as actors and myself as the director and as the design crew to be able to do all those different things.
So tell us a little bit about the plot. For those of us that may not have read Macbeth, what is the basic storyline?
Well, Macbeth is coming back from war. He's very successful. And out of nowhere come these three witches. And they give him a prophecy. They tell him he will be Thane of Glamis, which he already kind of knows, and then Thane of Caldor, and then which he does not, is not, and then the king, which for him, he doesn't know what to do with that, but very much soon after, he finds out he's Thane of Caldor. So his ambition basically takes over and becomes a giant problem in this show. He wants to be king so bad that he's willing to make moves for himself in order for that to happen. And so a lot of the play is following his sort of degradation mentally, because he's so obsessed with this thing. And you know, and how him and his wife have basically sort of fallen apart chasing after this dream, and then the repercussions that come with that, I would say, short.
So basically, though, they scheme to kill King Duncan.
Right. Yeah. It's a story about ambition.
Yeah. And I think what's really interesting about it, too, is like we really kind of dug into the fact that, I mean, Macbeth is a good general. And then he goes against all of his training, goes against all of his insights towards him within himself, that, you know, he gives himself advice not to do this, but he goes ahead and does it because of the ambition. So it's really interesting to just see the downfall and how a good person with all this responsibility doesn't know what to do with it, to be honest with you. So, yeah, it's really interesting and really amazing to see the relationship between Macbeth and Lady Macbeth, and also to see how Natalia and Enrique navigate all that.
So this play, and we'll go to you, Natalia, to talk about this, is it's not done in the traditional Shakespearean format that the characters are cast in a modern vein. So how do you translate the Shakespearean dialogue to sort of a modern setting?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd start off by saying we aren't changing really any of Shakespeare's words. This play is severely cut down, so it's not its entire length as written. But it's all Shakespeare, it's all Shakespeare's words. But, you know, even in Shakespeare's time, he didn't set his plays like back in 10th century Scotland. He set it because he had costumes from the day that he was performing in the 1500s. So it's like, it's kind of a tradition to like, you don't have to set the play in like an accurate time period. And ours is a very modern dress production. I wouldn't say it's like contemporary necessarily, but it's definitely within the last 50 years. And, you know, it's a very timeless piece, so it doesn't really need to be set back in 10th century Scotland. But in terms of like making it contemporary, of course, like we aren't speaking with British accents. We're not speaking like in a very stuffy, formal way. We're speaking as people who live in 2021. So I would say that although the language isn't modernized in any way, it's a very lively and engaging production that modern audiences will be able to relate to.
Yeah, and then in terms of that too, it's like it's an hour and a half long, so no intermission. So you come down there, you won't get too cold. You'll be able to see the whole show in an hour and a half, and really exciting cutting, and the way that Enrique and Natalia are playing their roles is really, it's really engaging and fun to see.
So tell me a little bit about the interpretation that you have of your characters. And let's go back to Enrique. How are you interpreting this tortured but sort of devious man?
Well, I think Florentino hit on it a little bit. I think he is a good man who just, you know, sort of wants to feel what it would be like to have this power. I mean, I think I'm playing Macbeth a little more sort of emotionally connected. There's a lot of very sort of highly emotional scenes that happen, and he's very in touch with how the things that he has done have affected a whole group of people, as well as how it's even broken the relationship that he has with his wife, as well as his own psyche. So I think that's probably my sort of take on Macbeth. I just am as a really, once the deed is done, as a very emotional sort of fragile person that's kind of reduced slowly throughout the play.
So what's your favorite scene, Enrique?
It's hard. There's a couple of that I really like, because you have to sort of reach a certain height. I mean, I do like the scene after Duncan's been murdered. and the banquet scene, because if so, every time I feel like I'm going into a battle. It's like, okay, here we go. Let's see how we end up on the other side of this. But, you know, it's just, but it also gets me excited. So.
How about you, Natalia? What's your favorite scene that you get to act in?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I would kind of echo Enrique in that it's really fun to enter a scene with you have to kind of force yourself to forget what is going to happen by the end and really let yourself just take that journey. And so there's quite a few scenes like the post-murder of Duncan or the banquet scene where you start off in one place and by the end you're at this complete a different emotional level. You're at a completely different relationship with the characters in the play, in the scene with you. And that's just always so exciting as an actor because it's different every night and you never really know where you're going to get. So that's super exciting.
How about you, Flordolino?
Absolutely, I like playing the murderer. I play four different characters, but I like just the relationship that person has with Macbeth and how the murderer kind of pushes the story forward in the killing of Banquo. So yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of fun to play. And then I also play the porter, which is kind of a fun character. But yeah, I'm just having a great time being with the company, a really great company of actors, and being a part of the play and being an actor in it and also directing it. It's been really fun.
So what about the performances themselves? What do we need to know as the audience? Are tickets limited to this?
Right now we have around 30 people can come see the show at the Treadwell Office Mine building this coming weekend. It's Friday and Saturday and Sunday at 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday and 3 o'clock on Sunday. And then the following week at various locations, Capital School Park, Cope Park, and then also at the Whale. I think outdoors, those parks in the second weekend is going to be they're much more open. So it can have any number of people. They're really a wide open. So up to, you know, like 50 people can come see the show. And in the Treadwell Office Building, probably around 30 can probably see it. But we might be able to get more people in there, possibly.
And just before we go, Flordolino, can you tell us a little bit about all the other things that Theater Alaska has going on? Because I don't know how you keep track of all that you're doing here during the month of May.
Yeah, we have this coming Monday, we have a new play reading by Annie Bartholomew, which is really exciting. And then we have another reading by Frank Gattass that's going to be on Monday the 24th at Resurrection Lutheran Church. Again, Annie's is on the 17th at Resurrection Lutheran Church, Sisters of Whitechapel, at 6 p.m. And then we have Neighborhood Cabaret, which is taking a musical cabaret to different locations in Juneau, May 26th to the 30th. And then we have also classes, Alexander Technique, clown class, and also acting through song, which also happens during this month. And all that information can be found at www.theateralaska.org. So come check out all that stuff.
I'm exhausted. Aren't you exhausted trying to bring all that to Juneau?
I'm tired.
All right.
Well. But it's so exciting. Yeah, we're excited.
We need to tell people to bring a chair. Bring a chair.
Yeah, bring a chair. Yeah, there's there's no chairs in the office building, but bring your own chair, bring a mask, and just have a lot of fun.
Wow, I'm glad that you chimed in with that. Bring a chair. It would not be fun.
Bring a chair.
Sitting on the ground or on a hard floor. All right, well, I want to thank three of you for joining us today. Enrique Bravo, who performs as Macbeth, Natalia Spengler as Lady Macbeth, and Flordolino Langondino as King Duncan. Thanks for being here with us today. Good luck with your performance.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Take care.